You know, it was not what I anticipated would be my first communication, but it's very, very clear that, unfortunately, much too frequently, these senseless acts of violence are occurring in our society. And as the chancellor of this university, we have a responsibility to keep all of our members of our community safe. And part of that is when these senseless and unfortunate acts happen, we have to make sure that we communicate and make sure every member of the university community has accurate information and that they are knowledgeable of resources that are available and that they are reminded of the systematic way and the relationship that we have with the city to respond to these kinds of issues and to hopefully get them resolved as quickly as possible. And it's also about making sure parents of our students know that we are responsible and we're always thinking about the safety of their child or their children that are enrolled here at this university.
You've said that the university needs to reinvent or redefine what a public land-grant university should be. As you get settled in here, what specific areas do you see possibilities for that kind of reinvention or redefinition?
Well, one of the things that's clear to me is that we have to kind of redefine and clarify what public engagement means and what it is and how critically important that is for a land-grant university to be at the cutting edge of best practices in public engagement. And I know people get a little confused when you say public engagement. They will say, well, we have extension. Yes, we do have extension. Extension was designed to serve the masses in very, very important ways, to translate the knowledge that's generated from this university for the benefit of the citizens. Public engagement takes that to a different level. It poses the question, what is the responsibility of this public asset to use its knowledge in partnership with communities to solve complex problems that the community identifies as being important? So it kind of flips the paradigm a bit. And from my perspective, one of the things that we will be advancing here is how do you really start a process to rethink the land-grant university for the 21st century? How do you continue to do the very fine work that this university has done for nearly 150 years? But how do you think about that in more contemporary terms? Are we responding, are we focusing on contemporary issues in a way that's going to assure that a land-grant university is still meeting the needs of the people in the next 50 to next 100, next 150 years. And so a lot of that is kind of stepping back, thinking about where we've been, thinking about how we engage with community in a much more seamless way, and what do we do to make sure we're meeting the workforce needs and educating students that they can not only meet the job demands that exist today, but have that intellectual capacity to create the jobs that's going to be driving the economic vitality of this state, this region, and this nation in the future.
One aspect of that, of course, is budgeting. When you're dealing with public universities, Interim Provost Faeser recently said that the budget cuts alone would not be enough to solve the financial problems the university faces in light of what's going on with the state budget. What message do you have for students, employees on this campus about how that impasse could affect them?
Well, I mean, the budget situation is already impacting us all. It's causing significant problems with recruitment. It's causing challenges as we think about how we're going to finance the mission going forward. So it's already having significant impact. We've had to completely rethink the budget model. Provost Killeen is completely rethinking what the system five-year plan. President Killeen. He called me president when he introduced me, so I owe him one.
There you go.
So we're even.
Yeah,
now.
Perfect.
No, I'm sorry, President Killeen. I was getting confused with Provost Faeser, but President Killeen has already indicated, and we talked about this before I took this job, the opportunity to really think about a different five-year plan, completely different budget model in how we approach the legislature about partnering with the University of Illinois to advance its mission. because you can't keep going through these kinds of discussions year after year after year and expect it not to have significant impact on the university.
It is worth noting you're the first African-American to serve as chancellor on this campus. You step into this position at a time where African-American enrollment is about 5% of students here on campus. We've seen recent calls to increase ethnic and economic diversity on campus. What do you see as your role in addressing those issues?
Well, my role is the role that any chancellor or president should play, regardless whether he or she or black, Hispanic, Latino, whatever it might be. All of us should have a critical sense of responsibility for making sure that our student bodies and our student population reflect broader society. And we know that our society is becoming much more diverse. Our students are demanding that we have more diverse faculty. And all of that is not just demands, but it's critically important to mission. It's critically important to the student experience. And so it's one of the things that I've been very involved with for essentially all of my administrative career is the issue of faculty diversity, student diversity, and very, very proud of the work that I was able to do both at Minnesota and at Albany. I just left a entering freshman class at Albany that was 49% students of color. And so this reflects where society is going, and clearly this university needs to continue to do, I know we've made some progress in that regard, and I certainly look forward to working with faculty, staff, and students to continue to come up with a more strategic approach to recruiting and retaining more students of color, and making sure that all of our students benefit from being part of a diverse environment.